Good morning, everyone. First, I want to say thank you to all of you for your prayers and your cards and your as we mourn the passing of my father-in-law this past week. Your love and concern has truly, truly been felt, and we are extremely grateful. We experienced Bob give his life to Christ in the mid-80s, and we know that he is truly, truly at peace with the Lord. I also want to thank my much older brother. He might have told you he was 3 years older than me, but he's 13 years older. No, I can't lie. He's really 3 years older than me. But I thank him for stepping up and coming in and being with you last week at almost the last moment's notice so that we could be surrounding Bob at that time of need. But speaking of peace, that's the subject of today's lesson. Peace can be confusing at times. It's something we all desire in almost every aspect of our lives. If I could just have a few moments of peace from this issue or that issue that is affecting my life. If I could just go on a cruise and have some peace from my job that I've been doing for so many years. If I could just escape to a deserted island and escape all the world's hassles that are going on around us. Peace, for the most part, is defined as freedom from any conflict or disturbance in our lives. Of course, in reality, that is a real tough thing to accomplish. Yet here in our gospel reading, Jesus said these words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." What is this peace that Jesus is talking about? Well, what does it mean by "I do not give to you as the world gives"? Jesus is continuing to give his final instructions to his disciples. He has already given them a new commandment to love one another. You heard about that last week, and we have covered aspects of that over the past several weeks. And it's actually connected to what Jesus is saying here about peace. We opened our gospel reading with these words from Jesus, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words." There's some powerful points in these verses that can be glossed over. First, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my word. Remember who the word is, or what is the word? Jesus is the word made flesh. His words bring life because he is life. His words bring hope because he is hope. So when we receive Christ into our lives, his word, his very essence, which is love, comes into us and resides in us. Conversely, anyone who doesn't love him doesn't keep his word. Why? Because it's impossible to experience God if you do not know him. So how does this all take place? Well, Jesus made it very clear in the following verses. "These things I have spoken while I am still with you." Remember, he's talking about he's here in human form right now. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." You see, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus will continue to teach. He will continue to remind us of the past teachings. He will comfort us. He will guide us. He will give us words to say when we need to say it. In other words, we don't have to do this alone. We have the assurance or the promise that Christ will be with us through the Holy Spirit. Anyone thinks who they can walk the walk of Christ and do the work of Christ without the work of the Holy Spirit is looking for a very difficult time and probably many disappointments. Whether in ministry or life in general, we need to understand that God wants to be a part of our lives in all areas. He loves us and wants us to be a part of that. Read through the book of Acts. We've been spending a lot of time in Acts over the last several weeks. It's full of how the Holy Spirit worked through the disciples in the beginning of the church. It's exciting stuff. There were issues at times that just seemed insurmountable. Have you ever felt like that? There are times the disciples were persecuted for their faith. Have you ever felt like that? But through all that, there were great victories, people coming to Christ in droves, healings were taking place, guidance too, to go from this place to that place. Paul was stoned for healing someone, and he was healed instantly because God wasn't finished yet. These were all works led by the Holy Spirit with the goal of leading others into a relationship with Christ. Even our reading today about Lydia has this divine appointment where her whole household came to Christ. You can't do that kind of work without the Holy Spirit, both in terms of direction and power. So again, Jesus gives his disciples and us who call on him these wonderful words because it goes hand in hand with the incredible love that he has for us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I want to point out something here because some might get confused, and they are confused because they might take the words out of context, because Jesus also said these words in Matthew. Do not suppose that I came to bring peace to the earth. I did not come but to bring a peace, but to bring a sword. Now, in fact, it is in fact that the human heart is either controlled by the Spirit of God, or we turn our lives more and more over to him. We do have a free will to receive him and to do the work he's called us to do. Or it is controlled by the sin nature that is separated from God. There's no in between. Even people who from all outward appearances seem to be good people, and I've known a lot of them, have troubled hearts that seek truth. The Apostle Paul thought he was a good person. I thought I was a good person. I stayed out of trouble for the most part. I was a Boy Scout, etc., etc. But as I was a teenager and early in college, I was running wild. And as long as the evil exists, there is a battle going on for our very lives. The sword that Jesus talks about is the sword of his word that cuts to the very core of our sin nature. Scripture reminds us, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And again, Scripture says, God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword that pierces the very core of our being. That's where the battle is. And that's what Jesus meant by that. This means that until Christ returns, we will be involved in a spiritual battle at times. At times we'll face evil. We'll face opposition. We'll face persecution. Many look at the lack of peace in the world, and and they even question God's existence. How can a loving God allow such and such to happen in the world? Some want to blame God even in the fact that the battle that is raging is occurring in their own heart, in the heart of mankind. That's the real battlefield. The lie is that many want to blame everyone else or God and not face their own brokenness and their own need for internal peace. Peace with God. Peace that is relational. Peace that is eternal. Peace that is born out of the love that God has for everyone who desires to enter into a relationship through Jesus Christ. And out of that comes this amazing hope that we have in Jesus through his Spirit. And like all the other followers of Christ before us, we become examples to others. It doesn't mean we hate those who don't know Christ or live in sin. It means we actually love them as Jesus does. We offer ourselves to others as Christ did. As Paul says, we are living sacrifice. We are instruments to bring wholeness and new life. Paul knew that he could die amongst all that he was doing. But he also had the peace and direction of Christ through his Spirit. He wasn't out there on his own, and neither are we. We need to give him all the areas of our life. Our prayer should be, Lord, I give it all to you. My job, my ministry, my family, my friends, my very being. Peace is the assurance that Christ is with us in everything that we do. And once you have surrendered your life totally to him, there has been times in my own life that I have felt like my whole little piece of the world is in complete turmoil. Just this past week, after my father-in-law passed away, we were gathering back at my mother-in-law's place at the assisted living facility. And as we were leaving the hospice house, Debbie's car was dead. So I jumped it and it was fine. The next morning we were at the house and Debbie got into her car at our house and it wouldn't start. And excuse me, I got something in my eye besides my finger. We were in a hurry, so I took her to her mom's place and came back and tried to jump her car, probably needing a new battery. As I put my jumper cable on my car went dead. Now I'm stuck in our driveway with two dead cars. Long story short, Debbie's battery was on its way out. We got that fixed. I had a loose connector on my negative battery cable, or negative battery connector, and as I was jiggling it, putting the jumper cable on, it went dead. That's what caused it to go dead, so I had to get that tightened up. And the not only that, if that wasn't enough, my tire pressure gauge in my car during the week went down, and so I filled the tires. 2 days later, it goes down again. I find out I have a nail, not only in my left rear tire, but in my right rear tire. And so you see this, all this stuff, I didn't need all that on top of what was going on. It really didn't need that kind of pressure, no pun intended. What kept going through my mind, though, is I was reading these scriptures for this sermon. My peace I give to you. My peace, receive it. And I did. And it was amazing. I could talk to the people who were working on the car with freedom, and we were able to talk to one another. I wasn't under any pressure. Because you see, even the annoyances of life can stir up within us turmoil, anger, confusion, and believe me, I was confused when I had two dead cars in the driveway. You name it. But even in those times, we can reach out and know that the Holy Spirit is right there with us to carry us through whatever it is we are going through. The peace of Christ is the assurance that even through the conflict that we come in contact with, we know that through the Holy Spirit that Christ is there with us. We are not orphans left alone in the world to be tossed to and fro by the wind. He has a solid course set for us and is grounded in his love and his peace, knowing he is there and guiding us. Once we have grasped onto that, we know that we can face the world around us, no matter what life might bring out to us. At the same time, we can bring others to the same good news that we know and cherish in our relationship with Christ. People out there are looking for the same kind of peace that we experience in Christ, but don't know it. The world looks mostly to resources to bring peace and happiness. God's peace is based on a relationship. The world will look at peace through personal ability. The Christian will find peace through Christ. And the world's peace is something that you work towards and many times are self-serving. Through Christ, peace is something you experience, and it's a free gift given to us. This is not to say, don't get me wrong, that peace in the world, the people who seek peace in the world don't have merit. It's a yearning to every heart to experience peace. Thomas A. Kempis is once quoted as saying, "All men desire peace, but very few desire those things that make for peace," meaning a transformed heart. And that peace of God's is available right now to all who receive it. And that is the peace we can offer to the world around us as well. At every Eucharist, I close the service with a blessing that is actually verses from Philippians. Paul was reminding the church in Philippi not to be anxious, but to be in prayer. And he said, in the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What that means is that as we go from place to place, we go out into the world knowing that we are not alone, knowing that Christ is with us, knowing that He loves and cares for us, knowing that His peace is with us if we allow ourselves to be open to Him, knowing that the Holy Spirit is with us to protect us, guide us, and direct us, and knowing that no matter what the world may throw at us or what condition of life may be with us at any particular time, we can still stand firm in Him with His peace and with His love. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that Your desire is that we walk in that presence with You and know You are there with us, walking us through whatever it is in life we are going through, whatever it is that brings turmoil to our lives, whatever it is that brings misunderstanding or confusion. Father, You are there. Father, I ask that Your Holy Spirit be on each person here, that You allow them to experience that peace and that love that is beyond our understanding, and comfort them in all that they are going through, in all that we have seen and done and gone through in our lives. So, Father, we thank You for that. We thank You that You never leave us when we call on Your name. You are always there. And we give You thanks and praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.